into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Hang on, 1:30 on a Friday afternoon on all of OTB's social channels. Where else would you be but the Paddy Power Half Hour? It's Ciarán Enda with you, as we are every week, trying to pick over the carcass of the weekend's Premier League fixtures, every single one of them, every Friday afternoon at 1:30, telling you which one to watch, which one to avoid, which one that you might safely make a minor investment on. Remember to bet responsibly. Joining us this week, the pointy-headed stats compiler from Paddy Power, Jason Murphy. Jason, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Enjoying the weather, Ger.
Did you trim the beard? Are we at like mid kind of, you're like ready to reemerge, being forced to go into the office? Like, it seems like it's a little less bushy now than it was, say, a month ago.
Yeah, we're just holding on. I don't want to go do a DIY on it. Hopefully hairdressers get back soon and we all get back to a bit more normal life soon. And yeah, that's holding on.
Yeah, some home jobs there still holding up. Right, Enda, what is... what was our specials last week?
Our specials last week, we had one that's still a contender. It's Leicester not to finish in the top four. That is looking less likely now that Leicester have kind of picked it up again. But Burnley to score a header was tipped on the show last week. They actually scored two headers and one of them was disallowed. So, you know, you're safe enough. Always go with Burnley and, you know, getting crosses into the box against a team like Man United.
I think United to win, both teams to score, was also tipped up on the show. So not a bad week last week. We'll get into this week's specials in just a moment. But before I do, I want to tell you about the near miss. It's our near miss segment. It gives you the chance to win even if you lose, but only if obviously you nearly missed. The name is in the clue. It's aimed at allowing some of you to reclaim a losing bet stake. That's the worst we'll do to a winner every week. But in previous weeks, we've actually given away 11 grand to one single winner, 2.5 grand to one single winner, and one lucky punter has also won 1,400 euros. It's called near miss because if you nearly win a Paddy Power Premier League bet with a single bet or an accumulator and it's fallen down because of a dodgy VAR decision or toe was offside, tell us about it and our equivalent of the Dodgy Goals Commission will sit in judgment. It's all about the Premier League, so any losing bet that almost made it and you're feeling sore about are all legitimate entries. All you got to do is slide into our DMs either on Instagram or on Twitter. You can WhatsApp it to us, 0879 180 180, or use the hashtag PPNearMiss on Twitter. And make sure you include the bet slip ID and, as I said, our Dodgy Goals Commission will do the rest. Every Friday at the end of the Paddy Power Half Hour, we'll announce our winners. Some will get their stake back and sometimes, if they're feeling particularly generous, the good folk at Paddy Power will actually pay out. You can see all the terms and conditions on otbsports.com. Stay tuned to our social channels for more details and reminders. So let me run you through the fixtures this week. Arsenal versus Everton tonight at 8 o'clock. Liverpool against Newcastle tomorrow at 12:30. At 5:30 on Saturday, it's West Ham against Chelsea. Sheffield United and Brighton at 8 o'clock. Nice of them to put that on a Saturday night when everybody can do some stuff. Wolves versus Burnley on Sunday at 12. Leeds versus Manchester United at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Villa West Brom at 7. Leicester versus Crystal Palace is at 8. And of course, big fixture of the weekend is Manchester City against the post-Jose Mourinho Spurs. 4:30 on Sunday in the Carabao Cup final. It's going to be interesting to hear what Jamie Redknapp has to say on the record about that game. In the coverage on Sunday afternoon. Your specials, you tipped Burnley to score a header last week, Wolves to win 1-0. Did that happen?
That happened last weekend and we had a bit of an argument about that, whether or not it was going to happen. I said not to bother watching the game, that it's going to finish 1-0 to Wolves, and it happened. That's what happened and I'm going with that again. Wolves to win 1-0 this weekend against Burnley, because again, both these sides not really accustomed to scoring that many goals. Actually, if you look at this game over the course of the season, so it's a long sample size, if you take your average scores within this game, it has about a 6% chance of having over 2.5 goals in it. So it's a long-term bet, but I do think that's something that you should look at. Wolves 1-0 in this game.
You're a big L spender if you're looking for a 6% return on your Saturday accumulator.
That just means there's going to be value in the fact that there's intelligence gone behind that bet.
Okay, okay. I get what you're saying.
And then obviously the biggest news of the week, there wasn't much happening, Jerry. You know, there's a small Super League thing that happened during the week. There's big news happening. None of the so-called Big Six to win this weekend. So that excludes the Carabao Cup final, which has two of them. One of them that happens to be Spurs somehow. But
okay, so none of the Big Six will be winners in the Premier League. Man City and Spurs aren't playing.
There's four teams playing in the Premier League that are in the so-called Big Six. That Man United against Leeds, Arsenal playing Everton tonight, obviously Liverpool against Newcastle, and then Chelsea against West Ham. So none of them to win.
Okay, so Jason, what are we looking at for Enda's wild, wild bets this week?
Yeah, Wolves and Burnley, it's a very good angle to back the 1-0. If you look at actual goals and expected goals, if you're wanting goals in a game, there's four teams that you shouldn't sit down to watch. Wolves, Burnley are two of them. The other are Fulham and Brighton. Fulham because defensively so good, Brighton just because they can't put the ball in the back of the net. But in terms of Burnley and Wolves, you do not expect to see goals in the game. And that's what End is alluding to here. He's throwing a dart at it and he thinks if there is a goal, it's going to be Wolves to get it. It is 5-1 in the normal match market. We've enhanced it here on Paddy Power to 13-2 if you fancy it. But it is 12 o'clock Sunday morning. So either potentially get the lie in or enjoy the fry.
Yeah, I mean, even the fry in front of the telly, it'd be more appealing if something else was on. So you're sticking with that, Enda?
Yeah, I mean, it's one way to keep yourself interested, at least, in this
okay.
game.
Okay, and none of the Big Six to win this weekend. I presume there's slightly longer odds of this happening. You would expect that several of them will win this weekend.
Yeah, that's what the market says. And essentially, the four teams are Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United and Liverpool. If you were to do a normal ACCA on site, it comes to about 25-1 for none of those four teams to win this weekend. For Paddy Power off the ball, we've enhanced it to 40-1. And yeah, for the week that's in it, let's hope it happens. And, you know, let's see a bit of karma by the end of the season. Hopefully Leicester and West Ham get those final two top four spots, assuming City and United have theirs in their bag already.
I mean, it's grand for you as a Man United fan to say that, right? That's it's like that the European Super League bad, but the British Super League, if you could just add Celtic and Rangers in, I'm all in favour of that. What are your thoughts on that, Enda?
No, shouldn't happen. Scottish League would absolutely die if they put Celtic.
Why do you care? You're a Celtic fan.
Because
who lives in Ireland, why do you care about this? Why do you care about the Scottish League?
I care about the fact that there's a lot of people that do care about those teams. And it's the same with the League of Ireland, it's the same with these teams. We don't really understand fan culture in this country because we don't have one, because instead of supporting our own clubs, we decide to go over to England. And that's fair enough. I don't blame anyone who does that.
Scotland.
I don't blame anybody who does that, but we don't have a fan culture, so we don't understand what it means to support our local team. And there are a lot of people in Scotland who are big fans of the St. Mirrens, of St. Johnson, and they mean something to those teams, and they mean something to that community, and that gives something people to do on a Saturday. It's a family tradition that people have, and we might not understand that or resonate with that.
They're still going to do that,
they will not be able to do that to the extent. It'll go the exact same way.
On a Sunday, they're going to go to a game, maybe not on a Sunday in Scotland for a lot of them, on a Saturday, they're going to go and they're going to enjoy the game against Cowdenbeath and Stenhouse Muir and not get hammered and have dreams of winning a trophy and perhaps representing their newly independent country in European competition. What is it like? Everybody's like, oh, you'd ruin the league by taking away these two power brokers. You completely poisoned the well.
There are other factors at stake here as well, Jared. There are the fact that there might be a couple of English clubs that might have an issue with plucking two teams from Scotland.
No, but I'm asking you
right
as a Celtic fan.
As a Celtic fan, I don't want this to happen.
Really?
I genuinely don't. It's too late. It's too late for this to happen anyway.
It's too late. You've got the rest of your life. You're a young man. It's not too late. Never too late, Enda.
It is. We are too far down.
Save yourself now. Don't wait behind for us.
We are too far down the path for this to happen because Celtic and Rangers aren't the clubs that they used to be. Maybe 10 years ago, this would have been an idea that, you know, they might have been able to figure out some way of getting revenue into Scotland. But now, at this point, Celtic and Rangers are the only clubs bringing money into that league and they just can't do it.
Jason, if I was to say the European Super League was definitely going to go ahead and we were getting a franchise in Ireland, what would you think?
I wouldn't be a fan of it, sure. I'd be honest. I'm from Carlow and I do be jealous of the lads in work who are Shelburne fans, Bohemian fans, because as much as I love Man United and been following them all my life, there's just a certain passion that they feel that you do get it with United, but just not to the same extent. The closest you get to it, it's just Ireland games when it's massive Ireland internationals. You're talking Shea Long scoring against Germany, those kind of occasions. And look, Pires is saying it'd be a great thing having United and Real Madrid every week, or even Real Madrid come to play some team in Ireland, some franchise. Absolutely not. Federer and Nadal works because when it happens, it's a Wimbledon final. It's a massive occasion. Federer and Nadal playing every week, the novelty goes off,
but they
the
don't
interest
play,
goes
they,
out of it.
They don't play every week. That, I mean, I think that's a, it's like, oh, it, you're right, it won't be those two every week because there's like enough games for them. They'll play twice a season guaranteed. That's all, actually.
But here's the thing, Gerard. No. I'm going to use a wrestling sort of comparison here because I was watching
watching
the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair last night.
Okay.
And obviously the big franchise, the two big powerhouses then in the early 90s was Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan. And they were building up for WrestleMania. Hulk Hogan was finally going to fight Ric Flair. And it didn't happen. Ric Flair fought Hulk Hogan several times and nobody really cares. All people care about is the fact that they never fought each other at WrestleMania. And people will say they want to see Real Madrid against Barcelona, Real Madrid against Man United all the time. But what does it matter if it's happening every single week, weekend?
It's
going
to happen twice a season. It's obviously never going to happen now. Right, let's move on. That was a mild distraction given the week that was in it. But a little microcosm about some of the debates that might be happening.
Just one small thing on that, Ger.
Yeah.
What we could have seen is John O'Shea nutmegging Figo maybe three or four times a season if it had been brought in at the time, just for the anniversary. That's in it.
Happy days, 10 years ago. No, 18 years ago, is it?
18, no, yeah.
18, old enough to buy a pint was how I saw it referenced on Twitter a little bit earlier on. Okay, so 087-9180-180 is the WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch with us. Let's get into these games here. Reminder, you can get involved on our Instagram polls. Follow us at Off the Ball on Instagram. Votes will count up until 10 a.m. on Friday morning. So Arsenal versus Everton tonight at 8 o'clock. 39% believe that Arsenal are going to win this game, which means that people still have faith in what's going on at Everton at the moment. Mm. I don't know. I think this one has quite a boring draw written all over it, as both of these teams seem to me to be just a little bit rudderless at the moment.
Yeah, well, ninth place Arsenal are still part of the Big Six, apparently. But I think it's interesting that people think that Everton are going to win this game, because obviously Everton are the team that are a bit in better form. But one thing I do want to touch on is, and last week it was against Spurs, Everton have always come up against issues this season that I've watched them when they played 3-5-2, because they've started Iwobi on the wing instead of starting Seamus Coleman. Against Spurs last week, they switched from the 3-5-2 straight into the 4-4-2. Seamus Coleman comes in. What happens? First cross, Seamus Coleman puts into the box, they score. And Everton were much better for the rest of the game. So I think that's going to be a key factor in this. What way do Everton set up, and also what way do Arsenal set up? Because obviously they've got the Europa League semi-final coming up next weekend, or next Thursday rather. So I think this is one of the games that, instead of putting a bet on wait until you see the starting lineups, if Everton are playing 4-4-2, I would advise going on Everton. But if they're going with a 3-5-2, I'd go with Arsenal to score first and maybe Everton to draw.
Jason? So.
Yeah, good analysis, good insight there. And the match price is Arsenal leaving money to draw 12-5 and Everton 11-4. And I'd side with the public opinion there, and there's value in that Everton price. If you look at the last five games, Everton actually have had a bit of a bad run. They've only picked up 3 points from five games. They're 6 points off fourth. Even if they had won one of those games, the table looks a little bit better for them. But with Arsenal's focus, I think now going on the Europa League, Everton, excellent away record. They're scoring 80% of games away from home, the fourth best away record in the league. Arsenal missing a few bodies, one eye on Europa League. Everything at 11-4 is going to be very popular, and I wouldn't put anyone off it.
Okay, that is interesting. And we obviously teams named an hour before kickoff, so if you're getting involved in that, then do hang on for that. Let's move on to the Liverpool game. So next up is Liverpool against Newcastle. 84% of you think, sorry, Liverpool against Burnley. 84 of you think Liverpool are going to Liverpool against Newcastle. I really expected Liverpool to kick on after the European performance. Granted, they didn't win the second leg, but I thought the quality of the performance was good enough that it was a harbinger of what's to come. But it turned out not to be the case, and they couldn't carry that form through. Granted, Leeds are not a pushover and did end up getting a result, but I just can't see at this point now, given everything that's gone on. You know, Jordan Henderson was kind of a key figure in rallying in the back room everybody. Milner came out early, but Klopp looked a little bit unhappy with what was going on. He got thrown under the bus by John W. Henry makes a point of apologising to him. It's like what looked like a perfect scenario at the end of the last league season all of a sudden it just doesn't look great, and I'm not convinced that everybody's going to be at it from Liverpool's perspective. Their home record's terrible, and all of a sudden their opponents don't look like pushovers, but they're safe too, so I don't know. Maybe this reasonably safe team, I mean, not mathematically, but it feels like it at this point. What are the odds telling us, Jason?
Yeah, Liverpool 1-5, the draw 5-1, and Newcastle 10-1. The fact Ooh. Newcastle have that 8-point cushion, I think it's feeding into these prices a little bit. In terms of the top four race, listen, anyone from Everton up to Leicester can get one of these places. There's 6 rounds of fixtures left, and if you get the right run, which any of these teams are capable of putting together, you can nick a Champions League place. Now, in terms of a bet for this game, it's an early kickoff, and this fixture last season, when I tipped it up, it was an early kickoff as well, and I went for Liverpool to win 2-0. 5 minutes in, and Jethro Williams scores an unbelievable goal for Newcastle, and your bet is dead. Never mind the early kickoff, it's just dead for the day. So what I'd suggest is, look, Liverpool to win 2-0 is even money. If you wanted to get involved in this game, Liverpool in over 3.5 goals, it's 5-4. We know traditionally we see lots of goals in this fixtures. 4 of the last 5 meetings, this exact bet would have clicked. It's not my strongest fancy, but I'm just saying it's a bit better value than Liverpool winning 2-0.
Okay, so 5-4 for Liverpool to win and over 3.5 goals.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
I can see the rationale behind that. I do think there will be goals, but I'm just not convinced about flaky Liverpool at the moment. And next is West Ham against Chelsea.
Yeah, so speaking of the top four, two sides going in level on points, and I think people are just about favouring Chelsea going into this game, and you can see why West Ham, again, we did predict last week that they might struggle with Newcastle, and again they did struggle to, you know, they struggled to break down that Newcastle low block, as it's called by Jose Mourinho. Chelsea obviously drew 0-0 with Brighton in another awful game, and I think that again you're looking at this and you're a little bit weary. We're getting into the stage of the season where these games really matter. So Chelsea semi-final in the Champions League coming up next weekend, are they going to be resting players for that? Declan Rice, Mikel Antonio, Aaron Cresswell all out injured for West Ham. This is a game that you're going to want to wait and see the starting lineups again. Again, Chelsea play the style of football. Not that they play the same brand of football as Newcastle, but it's still similar style to Newcastle in terms of they play a low line, they keep the possession, they wait for the team to try and make a mistake, and then they pounce. West Ham are the opposite. They wait for the team to bring the game to them, and then they pounce. So I think this might be a game that West Ham struggle with again. So I would be favouring Chelsea going into this.
No chance of another 0-0?
Potentially a 0-0, but I think I would favour Chelsea because of the injuries that West Ham have. That would be the only reason I'd fall down on them.
Okay. What are the prices?
Yeah, we've West Ham 7-2, the draw 13-5, and Chelsea 3-4. And this West Ham price will be very popular. First of all, West Ham, I would wait on team news like Enda has suggested. Definitely Rice, definitely Antonio are going to miss this game. Dawson's done really well since he's come in. Potentially, though, Cresswell and Lingard will make it. And if they do, if the 7-2 is still there, I'd take it. I don't know if many people paid attention to tonight, actually, watching what was actually happening on the pitch, but Chelsea were poor. And in that last 15 minutes, Brighton deserved to win the game. Nick and Jorginho in possession. And if you can get Lingard doing the same, and if Chelsea have one eye on a massive game against Real Madrid, then West Ham at 7-2 is definitely going to be popular, and I wouldn't put anyone off backing it.
It's obviously a huge game, but they can't take their eye off automatic qualification for the Champions League. That's the one thing that has me. And Tuchel seems to be, notwithstanding what happened, I do feel like what happened between the news breaking and the thing falling apart, it wasn't real. Like, I was certainly flicking over going, I hope they're not going to just commentate on the match here and they're going to talk to us about the latest breaking news and what's happening. I don't know what it must have been like for the players. Like, I can't believe they were fully properly prepared. Boss, what's going on? What's going to happen? Are we all going to be rich? Did we win the lottery? Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? It's awful. We're all going to be... I don't know. I just can't... It feels like those results were a little bit unreal.
Tuchel is very... speaks very well in interviews, and I think he does come across as being honest, and his insight has been a welcome addition to the Premier League. What he said after the game, as in, yes, we trained and we prepared, but outside of training, this was all that we were talking about, and can understand that might affect absolutely the performance. But Tuchel as well, you know, knowing that potentially PSG in a final, but just potentially winning the Champions League, if he has to make a choice between the best 11 against West Ham or a best 11 against Real Madrid, sure, I think he sides for the Real Madrid game.
100%, because he can get fired in 3 months' time as somebody who has a Champions League win on his, and he's like, yes, that worked out very well. Thanks very much. Sheffield United against Brighton is next. We have been, you know, Sheffield United 33%, Brighton 67%. I think Sheffield United have thrown the hat out at this point, and this is a good time for Brighton to be getting them. I don't have much insight into this. I mean, Brighton still scrapping away. Sheffield United officially have been clipped. I would expect Brighton to win this game. I understand that's like doesn't happen very much, but
yeah, absolutely. Sheffield United 4-1, draw 5-2, and Brighton are actually 4-6. Just as you were talking, it has switched from 8-11. We had this on site 2 weeks ago, and Brighton would have been 10-11 to win this game. So to shorten into 4-6, it's all to do with Sheffield United's relegation being confirmed. And this is an important point for anyone placing bets in the coming weeks. You know, motivation is a massive factor in terms of what moves prices. And Sheffield United's form has been terrible, having won in 5 games, scoring 1 goal, conceding 13. Whereas Brighton have actually been decent. A couple of nil-nils against Chelsea and Everton, competitive games, took the lead at Old Trafford. So Brighton at 4-6, if it goes any shorter, there comes a point where you just don't back it. But if you are watching it, if you are a narcissist and you wanted a bet for the game, Danny Welbeck, if he starts, has been starting recently, scored at Old Trafford, liked the way that he celebrated, none of this whole nonsense, oh, I used to play here. Looking at the prices, Neil Maupay be 7-2. You can get Danny Welbeck at 9-2. And if you use your XG, Danny Welbeck gets just as good quality chances as Neil Maupay, even allowing for penalties in a 90-minute period. So Welbeck, if he's on the pitch with Maupay, Welbeck at the bigger price at 9-2 would be the bet for this game.
Okay, maybe it could be in some of your accumulators as well, although odds on away from home, you always have to be squeamish about that. Next is Wolves against Burnley on Sunday. The game is slightly better on Sunday.
Yeah, the 12 p.m. on Sunday, Wolves against Burnley. This is one of the games that's actually on BBC, so that's going to be free to air for people. One thing, I was just looking at the ITV schedule. If you prefer to watch the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, that's on at 12:30 on Sunday morning as well, or Catchphrase Celebrity Special. That's on ITV2 if you want to catch that instead of watching BBC and watching Wolves against Burnley, because this is going to be a 1-0 to Burnley. As I said, we have a special on the site for this 1-0 Wolves against Burnley. It's going to happen.
1-0 to Wolves, yeah.
1-0
yeah.
to Wolves. That's all I have to say. Jason, what are the odds then?
Yeah. Wolves 21-20, draw 11-5, and Burnley 11-4. And potentially we've covered enough for this game already. What I will say is, if you have to do a trade-off against the Housewives, there is a cracking game at 2 o'clock, so I don't mind giving up the remote at 12 as long as I have it back at 2. But essentially, Burnley, in all seriousness, job isn't quite finished yet. The fact West Brom got bet last night does take the pressure off a bit, but Burnley still a small bit of a job to do, but fully expect them to do it at some stage, possibly against Wolves.
Okay, Leeds against Manchester United is that 2 o'clock kickoff that you were talking about there. And the situation with that game in terms of our Instagram audience will tell you in a second, but I'm absolutely certain it's more Manchester United than Leeds. So it is, yeah, 64% Manchester United, 36% Leeds in that. Obviously, Leeds' form has been good. The predicted end of season taper, we had the BBC Leeds dude on last night saying that's not actually true. It's Phil Kay?
Adam Pope.
Adam Pope. Adam Pope was on talking about that, and he was like, actually, you know what, it's not really true. It has become a bit of a cliche about Leeds and the Bielsa team and all the stories that we've heard about his pretty harsh physical training and the impact this has in the second part of the season. Not true just yet. Manchester United also, the form has been interesting. There's been parts of games where they've been not great, and then there's been parts of games where they've been absolutely irresistible. So I'm still of the belief that things are working out for Solskjaer. He is showing significant improvements, and it's these games. It's a game like this away at Leeds on a Sunday afternoon when everybody's watching that we're going to know the truth about this. I think that Manchester United are going to get this done. I think the fact that Greenwood's back in form, I think the fact that Pogba's back in form.
Cavani as well is really adding something, with Rashford being sort of not fully fit again. He was limping again against Burnley last week, and I just don't think Marcus Rashford has been fully fit for the guts of a year, so I think he needs a rest. And I suppose I would have been in the same position as that with this Leeds against United last time they played, and then obviously United went out and blew them out of the water. So I think Leeds set up in such a manner that they're perfectly suited for Man United to score goals against them. I do think that'll happen again. Jason, what are the odds?
Yeah, so we've Leeds 14-5, the draw 3-1, and United 3-4. Essentially, when you're pricing up a game, you look at what the rating's saying. I thought initially that United price was a bit short, and you look into it a bit further. In terms of conditioning that you're talking about, this is the first time this season that United have had a rest of 7 days. The best they've had is either international breaks, which don't count, or maybe 5 days. So the fact of a 7-day rest coming into this game for the first time this season is massive against the one team you'd want to be fresh against. So I factor that into my price. Then, as Enda alludes to, what we've seen previously at Old Trafford, tactically United were spot on against Leeds. The way that Leeds push up man-to-man, United were able to find McTominay, Fernandez, oceans of space in the midfield. Possibly Calvin Phillips wasn't 100%. He was taken off at half-time in that game. But based on what we've seen in that game, based on how fresh United are, I can understand that United price. And just want to call this out, Daniel James, anytime goal scorer, I think is the best bet for this game. It's 3-1. If you look since 18th of February, the 14 games he's been available for Man United, he's actually started 8 of them, whereas the previous 14 games he's only started 2. So he's starting to come back into the fold. In those 8 games that he started, he's actually scored 2 goals for United, and he actually scored for Wales recently also. And when he scores those 3 goals, they come late in the second half. So United have Europa League games coming up. I think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer starts Daniel James in this game. You get value of your 90-minute bet. And in the second half, when he scores, when Leeds are tired, that's when you'll really potentially get the value. He's 3-1, twice the price of anything you'll get on your Fernandez, Rashford or Cavani. Just a really good bet with a really good angle for what will be a cracking game this weekend.
The question is, Ogier, will he celebrate against his old side? Because Daniel James technically signed for Leeds before he did Man United. There's pictures of him holding the jersey and everything. Then Man United just whoop in and
take him
away. I think he will.
I think he'll whip that jersey off and rip it around his head.
We'll move on to Aston Villa against West Brom again. That's 7 o'clock on Sunday night. Again, there's other things to be doing than watching Aston Villa play West Brom at 7 o'clock.
I guess this
is more a question for you then, Ger. Aston Villa, they're done for the year, really, aren't they?
In the those immortal words, I can't even remember who it was now, they're surfing the crest of a slump at the moment and very concerned. I kind of said that this was very likely to happen about 5 or 6 weeks ago after the injury to Grealish, that they hit their 40-point mark and everybody was joking about it. Oh, but no, I mean, it's not important because they're actually going to thrust on now and be in the shake-up for the Champions League spots. And if they'd kept performing the way they had done at the start of the season, that might have been possible. However, Grealish is like the second most creative footballer in the league this season in terms of chances created. That's even with the injuries that he's had. That's not just on a per game basis. So they're not a one man team. They're a decent team. I thought that in the first 10 minutes against City the other night, they could have scored twice, and it would have been interesting to see if they blew an entire 2-goal lead. I don't think they would have, but City were clearly the better team. I'm not for a second suggesting they're not, but the chances fell in those first 10 minutes and they just weren't quite confident enough even after McGinn's opener. So I think that West Brom will probably win this game. I don't think West Brom are completely done. They were always going to have a bit of a wobble, and I think West Brom are going to get back into the scrap, and they're going to get 3 points here, I think.
Yeah, I do fancy them. Jason, what are the odds?
Yeah, Aston Villa 17-20, the draw 5-2, and West Brom 3-1. And there's a lot of factors, a lot of uncertainty in how you would price this game that kind of puts me off it. First of all, it's a derby, so in a normal derby, in a normal season, it's a leveller. So Aston Villa considered the better team, but it would actually shorten up the prices closer together. But the fact that there's no fans, the fact that Aston Villa are no longer motivated, I think, to potentially play for anything, especially with not Grealish to drive them, the Aston Villa price starts to drift. But you wonder then, West Brom, how they're going to react to that bad result against Leicester last night. And also, big factor here, I'm saying Aston Villa not motivated, but the fact that this could potentially put West Brom down has to be a big factor for the players as well. So there's a lot of ways to kind of measure this up, and I'm just not confident to get involved. When you're uncertain, you don't need to have a bet. Mm-hmm.
Leicester against Crystal Palace is the 8 o'clock kickoff, and people coming down heavily on Brendan Rodgers and Crystal Palace to win this. And I do think that maybe they're getting back into form, and I might have been premature in my, Leicester going to fall out of the Champions League? But it still could happen. It still could happen. But against Crystal Palace, who are practically 2 points off safety with a game in hand as well, I do think Leicester have this one fairly well wrapped up going into it. They're the type of team that do play the brand of football that will pick apart a team like Crystal Palace, who just wait for you to make a move. And they have too much firepower.
So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you a new variation of the question that I ask you every week, right? So let's just scroll forward 4 or 5 weeks, and Leicester City have qualified in the top four for the Champions League, and they've beaten Pep in the Cup Final. Mm-hmm. and West Ham have not qualified for even the Europa League.
Yeah.
Who's the manager of the year?
Pep Guardiola, isn't it? No, it's not. It's Brendan Rodgers. But Brendan Rodgers won't be in charge of Leicester if that's the case. He'll be in charge of Spurs.
I don't know. I think Spurs are going German. That's my take on that. But we didn't even ask about what the market is like for that one. So that's Leicester City against Crystal Palace. Sorry, I should have mentioned when I was doing Leeds against Manchester United at the 2 o'clock game on Sunday. It is, of course, live on Off the Ball on News Talk. Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr on commentary duty for that one. So if you don't get control of the remote control, then don't worry. We have you covered. Leeds against Manchester United live from 2 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk on Sunday. Man City Spurs last.
Yeah.
Last but not least, Man City Spurs, 4:30 on Sunday, the Carabao Cup final. Ryan Mason in charge of Spurs. Jamie Redknapp thinks they're all a bunch of clowns anyway, allegedly. And I don't know. I think Jamie Redknapp might be right about that, sacking the manager just a week before the Cup final. Particularly, was it Steve-O or Phil during the week was making the point, if you want an absolute bastard of a manager to win one single game against Pep Guardiola... Is it Ryan Mason or is it Jose Mourinho? Yeah. I'm just not sure, but I think I'm going to go with Jose Mourinho, who actually has done this before. I think there was a chance maybe they would have had to pay him an extra couple of million or whatever, and they obviously got it out under the cover of world football being on fire. So they did what they did. I presume Manchester City are slightly unbackable favourites for this.
4-9 to win in 90 minutes, which I'd be very happy to take. The draw is 7-2, Tottenham 5-1, and Man City 1-6 to lift the cup, and Tottenham 7-2 to lift the cup.
Right. I think Man City are going to win this in 90 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought, like, going into this game, you're thinking, wow, yeah, Jose Mourinho, he knows how to get a result from Pep Guardiola, but Ryan Mason? I don't know. Am I older than Ryan Mason? Somehow I look older than Ryan Mason. And how's he supposed to garner the respect of that Spurs dressing room when he's barely out of nappies, when he's barely out of his coaching degree? Like, I genuinely, it baffles me why Spurs made this decision. Unless they thought they were getting money from Super League, that they knew that they were going to be able to bring in a big manager, which they don't have anymore.
It can't have been on the basis that we were getting the Super League money, which would lead you to believe that there's some vague truth in the Redknapp voice note. I don't know. I mean, they're not that broke. I mean, obviously they've lost loads and loads of money, but in the long scheme of things, they have this brand new shiny stadium, which will start making money for them. You know, they're on a very sound financial footing. Daniel Levy has been a brilliant chairman in terms of getting Spurs from where he's taken them to the point where they do. I think that Spurs realistically could happily say, yeah, we should be in a European Super League at this point. We're one of the biggest clubs in one of the biggest cities in the world. We've got an incredible stadium. We just have Pochettino. Okay, so we're having some difficulties with the current guy, but don't worry, we're going to get somebody better in next. Like, I've made that mistake once. I'm not going to make it again.
Without going down the route of the Super League or harping on too long about it, though, I think Spurs are the best sort of picture of why the Super League is such nonsense. Because Spurs were not, 5 years ago, Spurs were not a super club. 5 years ago, Spurs were an Everton. They were where Arsenal are right now. They were where Leicester were. And yes, they have a billionaire owner ploughing money into them, and that's how they're getting up there. But the Super League prevents any other teams from doing that again. And that was one of the key points that I found a bit weird about it, is that, and the relegation stuff and all that there, any team in the Premier League right now, if the right owner comes in and gets the right manager in charge, can become a super club. And this was sort of blocking that from happening.
I don't believe that to be the case, though. I'd say that they would have happily extended it to the point where eventually it was 32 teams.
Yeah,
like, that's a nice number. Seems to work well in other leagues around the world. Like, they just did a horrible job of explaining what they were trying to do, because they couldn't agree what they were trying to do. It's time for us to give some money away in the near miss this week, Jason. What have we got?
Yeah, so we've had a couple of entries, and what we've decided to do, there's some entries, we're not going to pay out on all, but we've given away a free bet, £20 free bet to 4 of the entries, and then the one main entry is kind of the best story of the week. We've had some massive payouts in recent weeks, like you said at the top of the show, really good stories. This one, it's not as big a payout, it's a little over €350, but it's a classic story. It was the Friday night last week, it was Everton against Spurs. It's a single bet builder for that game. He's picked seven legs, or she, I'm not aware, but they've picked seven legs. They put a fiver on it. It's a 66-1 shot. So they've gone over 2.5 goals, but one of those goals to be Everton in the first half. They said Harry Kane to score any time. Harry Kane to have two shots on target. Son to have two shots on target. Loads of little factors to build up their bet. And the one leg that let them down was for over 10.5 corners in the game. There was only 9 corners. And look, they got their value out of it in terms of the entertainment, because I imagine, look, if they're a Spurs fan and Kane's limping off and he's taking his time coming off at the end of the game, they're aghast. But if they're a punter, they're like calling him, get off the pitch, will you? We want a few more corners. So that's what you get for your fiver. Bit of fun. And look, we're happy to pay out because it was a great entry and a good story.
Okay, so €350 is what we're paying out on the Paddy Power near miss this week. You just use the hashtag PP near miss. Slide into our DMs on Instagram or on Twitter. Make sure you take a screen grab and include the bet ID, and all the terms and conditions are available for you on otbsports.com. The Paddy Power Half Hour is with you every Friday afternoon. Make sure you bet sensibly. Never bet more than you can afford. And we will see you next Friday afternoon at 1:30. Cheers, folks.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.